Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Hector with the Otaku Podcast. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. You know, I first and foremost have to apologize because of the delays that were taking place with both this episode and also the third issue of Remnant. Quite frankly, as you guys probably are already aware, I did have a mental breakdown during production of episode 7, and I cut the episode midway through the breakdown because I ain't trying to embarrass myself, man, but things are better now. I think, honestly, it was just the accumulation of stress and all the different things in between. It finally slapped me in the face, and I'll be addressing that a little more later in the episode because I think having a transparent discussion about what we as content creators with such a low following have to deal with on a regular basis, it needs to be made known. This is bringing awareness. Yes, the conversation might seem a little bit cringe, not in a bad way, but like, holy crap, like, bro's really going to town with this. You know what I mean? But it's going to help people to understand in full from both sides of the coin. Those, as I said, with the low following, but those who are the ones causing the issues. Like, I've been pretty vocal about this already, and I don't want to get too much into it because this is for later, but support goes both ways, and that really is the gist of it, right? Support goes both ways, and I really want to convey that message to people. Like, y'all really have to understand that support goes both ways. And so, I won't mention names. Obviously, I'm not the one that drops names, but I'll name situations. And these situations are a span of 5 to 6 years. So this started in California, and of course it transitioned over here to Missouri. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's a lot to deal with, but it's okay because we always move forward. And I think this episode will be the one that brings me closure to really express how I feel about those who, for lack of better terms, they just half effort their way in showing support when they expect you to go above and beyond to support them. So there's going to be a lot of addresses here. And obviously, I don't want it to be too negative. I mean, it really shouldn't be negative. This is more of a transparent, constructive criticism, if you will. I accept it. So hopefully some of y'all listeners and some of y'all fellow content creators who I'm indirectly addressing can see it that way as well. But first things first, I want to discuss Peacemaker. As y'all know, last week on Wednesday, Peacemaker Season 2 premiered. Episode 1 came out. And this is a spoiler review because I'm not going to wait another week to give y'all a spoiler review. Now, I just hate doing, you know, spoiler-free stuff. I feel like I can get more into it when I can bring out the spoilers. But this will be like a brief breakdown of the episode. Season 2 opens on a darker note, showing how the fallout from Season 1 has left the 11th Street kids fractured. Peacemaker is living in his late father's house. Let me repeat that again. Peacemaker is living in his late father's house. The man that he killed at the end of Season 1. Pretty much the one responsible for all the pain and trauma that he deals with. And he continues to be haunted by that trauma. He continues to be haunted by that loneliness. I thought this episode had a similar effect to understanding mental health in a great way. People really have to see it before their eyes to understand how others deal with trauma, deal with loneliness, deal with pain, regret, and all in between. And so that's what we see here in Peacemaker. He is trying to navigate through life dealing with this trauma that holds him down. And he's living with self-doubt as well. He wants to do better. He wants to be a hero. He wants to prove all the naysayers wrong. But of course, he has to go through hoops and hurdles in order to achieve it. Abadeo has also reinvented herself as a hardened contractor after her marriage fell apart. Harcourt is also dealing with some stuff as well. She's bitter. She's unemployed. She blames Amanda Waller for blacklisting her. I mean, this once tight team now feels broken and adrift. And it's pretty sad to see that if you think about it, because in season one, they had excellent chemistry, but they all started going their separate ways. And it was sad to see that, man. I'm not going to lie. But you see, at the same time, all of them are dealing with their own trauma, and that it really affects the relationships that they had with each other. And it's unfortunate that it happened to be this way. Chris gets what seems like a big chance even. He has an audition with the Justice Gang, the DCU stand-in for the Justice League. And Chris, he opens up about the trauma. He opens up to the source of his pain. He opens up to the sources of his neglect and the things that he rejects, the things that he regrets, and anything like that. Chris is a broken man here, bro. And he's expressing himself openly, honestly, and he's vulnerable in the situation because he's never really expressed himself in this way. This just shows me the wonderful character development that James Gunn is doing for Chris as Peacemaker, because, you know, we see him as a hardened guy. He doesn't want to express himself. He's a man's man, you know, the old school man. You don't cry. You don't express your feelings. You just bottle up inside, turn it to anger, turn it to rage. Well, Chris finally breaks. We see it. Chris breaks. There's one scene in this episode where he simply breaks down crying. You see the pain in him. So during this audition with the Justice Gang, Hot Girl, Green Lantern, they were kind of disrespectful to him. You know what I'm saying? They were humiliating him. He even had Mr. Terrific up in there making jokes here and there, and he was pretty sly, more discreet than Hot Girl and Green Lantern, but he didn't help the situation. They all humiliated him, they mocked him, they put him down. And Peacemaker only knew this because, coincidentally, the mics behind the screen were on. They didn't turn it off. You know, like an interrogation room where, yeah, people watching from a different window, and they could talk to you through a microphone, but you only hear it one way if the microphone behind the screen or behind the room is off. Well, it was on. So literally, as Peacemaker is expressing himself and the trauma and things like that, Justice Gang is making fun of him. Disrespectful. Spiraling, he throws himself into a wild drug-fueled house party while under secret surveillance by economists and vigilante who are reporting to the new Argus director, Rick Flagg Sr., determined to punish Peacemaker for killing his son. Now, I want to talk about that party scene for just a second because, first of all, that scene was not for kids at all. I mean, it was pretty gruesome, pretty, it's pretty mature. Now, my personal feelings about this, I feel like a show can be so successful without having these elements. There's a balance to these elements, right? Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail about what specifically, just read it up online and you'll know what I'm talking about. But a lot of drugs and a lot of immoral things going on here. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So I'll admit, I myself turned away from it because it was just a bit much. But like, I don't see why they need to add all that stuff to it. But I guess it makes things more relatable, I guess you could say, because people go out there, they seek these parties, they seek these drugs to cope with their feelings and all the negative thoughts that they have. I suppose they can relate to it by posting or putting up scenes like that in the show. I myself didn't seek drugs or parties like that for my own personal issues that I have. That's why I smoke whiskey. That's why I make amazing Strong Island iced teas. But even then, I don't enjoy those every day. Like, you know, it's just basically when, you know, I'm stressed out, I want to relax, then have the drink and relax. And that's all it is. But, you know, again, I guess people who can understand it can relate to it. Maybe it's good if they saw it. But for me personally, I would have done without it. Honestly, that's just how I feel about that. But anyways, the biggest twist of this episode comes when Peacemaker stumbles into his father's strange quantum closet. He discovers a portal to an alternate reality. Now here's where things get a little crazy. And it really, again, tackles that mental health. In this world, his father is kind. His brother Keith is alive. And Chris is a respected hero with a loving family. But wait a minute, who's his better half? None other than Harcourt. Basically, guys, this is everything that Chris as Peacemaker wants. Unfortunately, he doesn't have that in his reality. He doesn't. But he wants it. And this continues to add to the burden that he has to carry with him each day. That adds to his trauma. He's depressed. He's anxious. He lives with regret. I mean, he's a broken man. So when he got to see his father being kind, when he got to see his brother alive, he didn't know how to react to this. He was in shock. I mean, basically, all the scenes up to the last scene with those three together, he was in shock the whole time because he was never used to that. As mentioned, he was used to his father being physically and verbally abusive. He didn't have his other brother, Keith, growing up. So it's like, this is all new to him. This is something that he's actually never had before growing up. And that's where mental health is tackled. And that's where mental health, you know, is here. And what I really like about this episode as well, it reminds me of Thunderbolts. Because if you all saw Thunderbolts, you guys will understand how good of a movie it was because of its tackling down mental health issues in a very, very powerful way. Different types of mental health issues. This episode tackles down mental health issues as well. The grief, the loss, the regret, all in between. We see from beginning to end, Peacemaker navigating through it. We've seen the broken man become even more broken and break down and cry. He made himself vulnerable as a result. So seeing this, it was pretty crazy, man. But it was also well done by James Gunn. This dream, though, that he thinks he has, it turns tragic. And why is that the case? Well, the Chris that we know, the Peacemaker that we know, meets that alternate version of Peacemaker. Who, by the way, is a respected story hero, as I mentioned. They fight, but our version of Peacemaker kills him. He kills Peacemaker. He dies in his arms, actually. So now he's returning to his old world, shattered and cradling the body of what he could have been. Amazing. Amazing. I'll look forward to episode 2, but of course, you know, when it comes to these very explicit scenes, obviously I limit myself to seeing just a few, but I can't deal with all of it. So we'll see how episode 2 goes. I'm looking forward to covering it still, but obviously I gotta be careful, you know, what I watch exactly in it. But yeah, man, I mean, this was a good episode. Like I said, it tackles out mental health, and that's what it was all about. Not a lot of crazy action throughout the episode because this is like, you know, the foundation of season 2. But it was a great foundation. It really sets the tone for the rest of the episode, or the season, I should say. But good things to come with that. So, as many of you guys know, I started work this week. Finally, after being unemployed since June 25th, surviving on unemployment checks and generous contributions from friends and family. I mean, very generous. I mean, I'm not going to go into the specifics of the numbers, but I'll just say it got me by for 2 months. It got me by with everything I needed to do, but also be generous and help others in return. I mean, it's the least I can do. You know, we're all in this together. We're all struggling together. So least thing I can do is help out those in need. And genuine people, I mean. Not just people who hit me up just for money. It's like, bro. Anyways. But yeah. So as you guys know, I work at a preschool now. One of the special education workers for the school district. So currently I'm placed at a preschool. and the ages are from 3 to 5. Not all of them have IEPs or individual educational plans. Basically, special education plans is what IEP is for. But a good, you know, a fraction of them do. And I mainly work with those. I've never worked personally with preschoolers. So this was a challenge for me, honestly. It's funny how this all worked out. When I first started working with youths, I started with young adults to older teenagers, so from 19 going down to 13, let's say 14 years old. And then I worked with elementary schoolers, so that went from ages 5 to 11, 12. And now I'm working with preschoolers from ages 3 to 5. All of these different groups of individuals have different personalities, they have different issues, and there's my cat again trying to steal the darn show. Cutie! Cutie! What are you doing? Oh, Dios mío. But anyways, she's looking right at the camera now from the back bench. Nice. Also, my on-air sign is not even visible, bro. What the heck is that all about? I think I might... Oh, hold on. I gotta move it, bro. Anyways. But yeah, it comes with challenges. But I like it, though. It's funny how these little ones change up their personality so quickly. So I'll mention one. I can't mention the name, you know, specific information, mind you. But I have a 4-year-old with me, right? And so he's only there for a limited time because of his aggression, you know, ADHD, things like that that he has. And Friday he came to school and he did perfect, like, throughout his day in school. And he was only there for like 3.5 hours. And he was like, oh, Hector, I love you. Mr. Hector, you're my friend. Mr. Hector, I love you. And, you know, he was hugging me and he like pecked me on the head and things like that. And then Monday comes around. Oh, my goodness gracious. I love this kid, but oh, my goodness gracious. So he got in trouble a couple of times because he was aggressive with some of the other kids. And we had to pull him aside, walk him around and try to calm him down. And it even got worse when it was time for him to go home. And that personality changed so quickly. So let me tell you this. I mean, even today, for example, he comes to school. He's happy to see me. Hector, I love you. Yes, yes. Let's hang out. So he hangs out with me in the classroom. And then, again, he got in trouble. And he's like, I hate you. You're not my friend no more. Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. This and that. I'm like, oh, my God. This is what it's like to be a dad. Because I'm not a dad. I have a lot of sons, if you know what I mean. Danny, Joe. I mean, I could name so many names. You're all my sons. But having a little kid, though, as your son, holy crap. It's a difficult phase to navigate through. But I'll tell you this, though. With the challenges, it comes with an amazing, amazing reward. Because you think about our position as educators for a school district. And this is something that I want to express as well for others who can relate to this. But we don't get enough credit for what we do. Absolutely not. Especially if you're in my position working within the special education department, we have a different entity of challenges. And we are the front line dealing with this. We deal with the fits. We deal with the spit. We deal with the slaps, the kicks, the punches, the pouts, the headbutts. I dealt with that in 2 days. All of it. And although it caught me off guard a couple of times, and although I almost threw out my back one time trying to restrain, hold down on one little one that had the strength of a freaking Goliath, it's rewarding though. Because we are the ones that set the foundation for the future. Those kids are with us most of the time compared to with their families. And I pray every day that their families actually give them attention and actually help them out. Because when they don't, then they go into the same group of kids I dealt with in the beginning. The 13 through 19-year-olds causing issues. Breaking the law. Because that's where they find their comfort from, you see? But it's such a reward to work with these preschoolers. I love it. And the staff has been amazing. The principal is amazing. The secretaries, I mean, everybody's been incredible. And this is the local school district, so it's only 6 minutes away from where I live. It's been awesome, bro. I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I did take a massive pay cut to work here. I was making a lot more money working in the city next to the football stadium. But, you know, driving 50 minutes one way to work, it's a lot of gas money. It's a lot of stress. I'm dealing with traffic and people on the road. I just hate it, bro. But driving 6 minutes makes it that much easier. And as I said, the benefits are very generous. I mean, health coverage is pretty much a done deal. I think I only pay like a couple of bucks a paycheck and the rest is covered by the district. And it's decent benefits. I get a free gym membership as well. So, hey, here's the thing. New content will be out as well for working out. But I'm going to wait till I get in decent shape before I start posting videos again. Because, yeah, I don't want to embarrass myself. But, you know, those pictures I've been posting of my wrestling days and my luchador days, you know, the goal is to get back into shape before Thanksgiving. So I plan on visiting some friends and hopefully some family if the time allows me to. And yeah, it's going to be great, bro. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting stuff. But going back to this job, though, I mean, I can't say yet that I wouldn't trade it for the world. But right now I'm feeling that way because, you know, seeing the little kids smile at you and they hug you and, you know, I'm going to tell you one experience. So that mental health breakdown that I had on Sunday, you know, it kind of carried over onto Monday, right? And there's one little kid in one of the classrooms. He's only 3 years old, but he's tiny. Like, he's a tiny kid. And I'm just picturing his face right now, bro. And I'm already getting choked up because the power of a hug can do so much. So I wasn't feeling good. And so all the kids were playing on the tables. And then, you know, it's time for them to go to the carpet so we can do some songs together and, you know, dance around together and get ready for recess. So I tried moving the kids over, and this little one didn't want to move. So his issue is he gets anxiety when he gets accustomed to doing one thing, but then when it's time for him to abruptly end it, or at least even slow down to end it, he just freaks out. And he doesn't throw a big fit. He's a small little guy, keep in mind. But his cries are, like, so adorable because, like, he's tiny, so he doesn't have a voice. So he's crying, and then he raises up his arms. He wants a hug, so I pick him up, and I hold him like a baby, like, you know, resting on my shoulder. And his head is just resting on my shoulder, and he's, like, sniffling, and he's crying, and he's holding me tight. And, man, dude, like, I'm going to cry with you, bro. Until I got the snot on my neck. Oh, God, that was disgusting. But, yeah. It's moments like this where I'm like, you know what? This is the right job for me. I'm excited to do this. I pray and hope that, you know, I can continue to work through this. I hope when I get my first paycheck, I look at it, I'm like, okay, this is doable. Because I would hate to see the paycheck and, you know, see it. And I'm like, I don't think this is going to work. I have to get something with more money. But at the same time, you know, I have to be careful with that mindset because I know how to live on less. I've lived on less my whole life. As a full-time minister, you know, we dedicate a lot of our time for teaching the people about the Bible. And, you know, I'm privileged to give guest talks. You know, I get requested from different congregations in the Kansas City area. Give talks, you know, about the wonderful hope for the future that we have, the Bible, things like that. I'm not going to get preachy on the podcast, but you know what I mean, right? Like, I wouldn't be able to do all that if it wasn't for a very good schedule for work that I have. I would hate to work, you know, and get a lot of money, which seems nice on the outside, but I don't get to do the things I really want to do. The ministry, the podcast, the Remnant series, and now, hopefully, some workout content, you know? I just wouldn't be able to do all that if it wasn't for the schedule I'm afforded. So I'll probably be able to get a better understanding of how I can go about through this once I get that check. But right now, the actual work itself, it's amazing. I love it. It really is cool. And it really pushes me to reach out more. to do more for the school district. I mean, I eventually want to be a higher up in the school district and be the implement of change of how we address kids with special needs. Because I feel like the system is still broken. Like, it's getting better. It's getting better. I will say that. But slowly but surely, we're putting together the pieces. As far as social services go, that system is so broken. I mean, there's stories that I can tell you all, but it just makes me sad talking about those stories, man. There's no point. There's no point. The good ones that actually work for the Department of Social Services, they get burnt out, they get mistreated, they get abused, both physically and mentally and emotionally. Like, and then they leave. And then the kids that you're helping, they think that you abandoned them. That's how I felt when I left the department. But I had to explain to every kid that I used to work with, like, I want you to know that this is not on you. This is something that I have to do so eventually I could be more helpful in the long run. And that's the goal. And that's what I want to do. But yeah, things are going great now. I mean, I'm happy that life is the way it is now. I'm happy to have a lot of good things going. One of my best buds, shout out to Brandon F. He's moving to the Kansas City area after being 3.5 hours away. So it'd be cool to hang out with him more. I mean, that was kind of a shock there because, you know, we play online pretty frequently. And the initial goal was for him and his fiance, they'll be married next year, but like they're supposed to move or planning on moving to the Kansas City area like in a year or two, depending on work and things like that. But he was able to have a great opportunity to work with. So that's happening now. The move is happening now. So that's going to be awesome, man. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you more, bro. Yeah, good things to come. So one thing that I also made mention, and this will be the final segment of this podcast, and I don't know how long I'm going to keep this going for. I'm just going to basically express how I feel of the situation. I don't want to go on a rambling tangent for 30 minutes because I try to keep the podcast up to 45 minutes at max. And if I have a guest, like close to an hour, but nothing past an hour, especially as one who's a solo host. Like, I don't want y'all hearing my voice for an hour, man. There's no point. But I posted this on social media numerous times already. And if you check out the last post, and this is dated August 26, 2025, 10:15 p.m. Central Time. So I made a post on my TikTok and basically setting up the tone for the segment. I'm going to say it now. This might rub some of you guys the wrong way. I apologize for that. What I'm about to say is not ill will. Like, I forgive you guys. I moved on from it, you know? But I think it needs to still be said for the sake of other content creators who are hearing this message. Because here's the thing about us, guys. And this is me speaking in behalf of other content creators with low followings. And now I'm going to look at the camera because this is not scripted. This is real. This is how I feel. We struggle to get views. We struggle to get follows. You know, a lot of us do so much work behind the scenes that not even some of our closest followers understand what's going on behind the scenes. Because we don't have to tell you what happens behind the scenes. You know we work hard. We know we put a lot of planning into it, a lot of organizing into it, especially with big projects such as a podcast, a comic book series, or other content like that. A lot of work goes behind the scenes. We lose sleep because of it, especially if you're working a full-time job, or in my case, a full-time job and a full-time job as a minister. That's two full-time jobs going on. All the while, I'm trying to have a social life. Like, I would never reject hanging out with friends and family. Like, if someone hits me up, you know, to hang out, the worst thing I can say is, not right now, but let's talk a little later today, or let's make plans of hanging out. Like, rarely would I say I can't hang out today. Because, dude, friends and family are the ones that help support you. Friends and family are the ones that keep you encouraged and make you laugh. They keep you going. Like, if I were to reject a social life to pursue something that is just a hobby, I'm going to fail. And I'm not trying to do that. I talk to all my followers when they hit me up on TikTok or Instagram. I actually converse with them. I love having conversations with them. I hate small talk. If you know me, bro, I hate small talk. So if you guys are doing small talk on social media, don't hit me up or simply don't reply to my message. And I'll get the idea. Because I just hate it, bro. Like, my purpose of connecting with other content creators with a small following is to develop friendships, develop partnerships even. But first is first, friendships, bonds, relationships. Because when you guys are friends behind the scenes, you guys will create something magical for everybody else to see. That is the purpose of working with other content creators. But here's the thing, and this is where things are going to get real now. If somebody is supporting you and sharing your content for others to see and hear, or just spreading the awareness of your message, if someone likes your stuff, reposts your stuff, shares your stuff, comments on your stuff, comments to you directly how much they appreciate your content and how it's helped shape their life to be better, you should support them too. One thing that I don't like that has been the case for 5 freaking years is content creators would bombard me with all their stuff, and I will still like and share their stuff, but they don't like one of mine, and I take note of it. How is it fair for you to share 25, 30 of your stuff, and I like 20 to 25 because I missed the other 5, but yet you don't like one of my stuff? One of my pictures, videos, which I work very hard for, to make it entertaining as possible. How is that fair? Think about that for just a moment. How is that fair? How is it right for over the course of 5 years, when I had a Nerdology podcast, now we have Otaku podcast, how is it fair when I have guests on the show, and I had a lot of guests on the show a while back, and I'm starting to have guests again? Why is it fair to me where I have you on the show, you talk about your podcast, you talk about your goals, you talk about the content that you come out with, but then you disappear after that? Explain. You probably can't. It's selfish. It is certainly not fair. As content creators, we should support each other. As content creators, we help build up one another. As content creators, we create a partnership that is not easily broken, because we drag our own mutual followers to each other. We drag the different interests that we possess to make it great for everyone else to see. That is the purpose of working with others. That is also why I reached out to some of you guys personally. Hey man, I appreciate your content. Don't give up. When some of you guys posted about giving up about posting content because you weren't getting views or shares or likes, I was the one that said, keep on going. And then you followed me and I followed you back. And we supported each other for a bit. But then you just disappeared after I gave you a special favor, whether it was bringing awareness to your show or what you have out there or inviting you on my podcast. You'd all just disappeared as a result. And this isn't just singling out anybody from this year. This is a course of 5 different years, almost 6 years of doing this. It's just not fair, bro. We are already approaching 2026 in just over 3 months. Why is it so difficult still in this day and age to show mutual support to somebody? It shouldn't be. That should come naturally, right? You would think. Especially the message that you preach on your posts. I've seen some of what you guys post, and I still like the post. But like, some of y'all are upset because you don't have mutual supporters. Well, where's the mutual support for me? Where's the mutual support for John, not a real name, but John, who's supporting you. I see witty comments on your posts. But then I go to John's post, not one comment from you, not one like or share from you, or save. You see what I mean? Support has to go both ways, guys. And sorry, I have to breathe in this one, because I have to calm down. But what led to the mental breakdown was the fact that a combination of two things. The first one, and I already talked about here, is lack of mutual support. And it just hit me hard, bro. It really did. I thought before recording episode 7 on Sunday morning, and I wasn't feeling good that day either, like physically speaking. It just all hit me at once. Like, dang. So-and-so always shares his stuff. So-and-so always reposts his stuff and then sends it to me. So-and-so always expresses how she or he doesn't appreciate ghost followers. And that, you know, they were going to move on from them. And then I thought, well, who are you? You do the same thing. And so I thought about that. Another thing, and I think this was the icing on the cake for this one. More, I guess, in a negative sense, the straw that broke the camel's back. I think it really irritates me how the algorithm on TikTok works. You know, us content creators, again, with a low following, we don't have the luxury of having a pretty face or a perfect body. And I've seen so much stuff on my feed. And first of all, I like to work out photos or videos of people with before and after photos. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting bombarded by bodies, bro. But like, real talk now. I don't understand how people who like to show off their body get all these likes, all these reposts, all these shares and follows, when they're not even like doing anything productive. They're just showing off their body and being, you know, they're thirst trapping basically. I'm just irritated, dude. Like, I'm legit irritated right now. I hate that crap. I hate the fact that us content creators with low support get overlooked when we put out awesome content out there for people to enjoy, but then it's overshadowed by John Cena looking people over here who are obviously juicing and obviously are thirst trapping people, both the same sex genders and the opposite genders. Ooh, that's going to rub some people the wrong way now. But like, they get all these views and it overshadows us. It's like, I would like to think I was in decent shape some few years ago until I had the knee injury and it slowed a lot of things down. But even then, when I was peak physique, when I was a professional wrestler, a luchador in LA, when I had a peak physique, I never showed off my body like that, bro. Why? It's like, there's no point of that. I never thought about showing off my body for views because I was busy making content, like entertaining content, reviewing movies, reviewing TV shows, reviewing video games, reviewing comic books, nerd stuff. I was still doing that 5-6 years ago, even with a peak physique. I don't know, bro. Like, the world, society is just so full of crap nowadays, bro. And it's ruining it a lot for us content creators. Like, I have 283 followers right now. And I'm probably gonna lose some. If I do, well, you're offended. I'm sorry. I apologize. But it had to be said, quite frankly. But if you're still following me and you're like, oh, maybe I should do better. Well, maybe you should. Maybe you should. And that's me being a little older than you, telling you a life skill. Like, this is going to help you, not just with your content and your partnerships and your collaborations, but life. Support those who support you. Be loyal. Be friendly. Be kind. Be loving. Show those good qualities. And I guarantee you, it always comes back around and to help you up. Because if you treat other creators like crap, if you use other creators to get just a few more views and follows, you're going to crash down pretty hard, even with your little bit of followers in mind. So I think you guys really have to understand that. That really led up to the mental breakdown. Was a lack of mutual support, and also the fact that society is just so twisted, bro. And that's what I got to say about that. And you best believe I'm posting this entire video clip on TikTok. So, I mean, even if you don't hear the podcast, which I highly doubt you do anyways, maybe you'll see one part of the clip. Maybe just one part of the clip after you fast forwarded it or you swiped up that, oh shoot, this is this is probably me he's talking about. And it probably is. But now let me make it more positive finally. Let's go ahead and give the commendation part of it. What drew me to you on social media, speaking of TikTok, was the fact that your posts are real. You're very open and honest. You're very vulnerable in expressing yourself. And this is for a few of you here, like about 6 or 7 of you. You guys are very open and honest about your feelings, trauma, things like that. And I think that's very important that you keep doing that. Because when you're real and transparent, there are going to be some people that can relate to what is going on in your life, what's going on in here, in your head, right? Even in here, heart. So, do not forget those who supported you first. And I would tell you straight up, I was the one that supported you first. And I'm going to continue supporting you. I even followed quite a few people who have not liked my stuff in a long time. Because I take note. And it sounds obsessive, it sounds cringe, but you have to understand that when we're starting from the bottom, we know who was there first and who really appreciates what we do. And then in return, we show appreciation for them. But don't forget the early conversations that we had. I remember them. Don't forget why we followed each other. Don't forget the support that we promised each other. Because now it seems like it's one-sided. There's very few left from TikTok that actually support what I do. Very, very few. And I already named them in the last episode. They're mentioned in my shout out to them. That's it. But there is a lot more before. But when I felt like you got what you wanted out of me, it just died off. We got to change that, bro. Do better. But anyways, guys, that's all I have to say about that. Just a few more updates in regards to the podcast and Remnant. And I've already made this in the statement. I've also made this in the last episode, but I'll reiterate the point. So let's start with Remnant first. Remnant was pushed back, so hopefully it'll be out this weekend. I'm hoping either Saturday or Sunday, so that'll be the 30th or the 31st of August. I'm hoping issue 3 will be out by that time. That's what I'm pushing for. But if it doesn't, you know, I apologize. But as mentioned in the last episode, a new issue will be out every last Saturday of the month going forward. So one issue a month, every last Saturday of the month. And the podcast, I'm still going to keep the recordings between 3 to 4 weeks. Closer to 3 weeks, you know, have a little more of a number than the Remnant series, at least. So I'm hoping that we can do that. And there might be impromptu recordings where I'm feeling the need to record, or a guest or a friend, whatever, hits me up to be a guest on the show. We're like, dude, do you have time to record tomorrow? Heck yeah, man. All right. Record tomorrow, post it up. And that Saturday or Sunday, whatever that third or fourth week falls on, we record a scheduled episode. So that's what I'm shooting for. Yeah. I just believe in quality over quantity. That is pretty much the gist of it. So yeah, that's all I got to say about those updates. So good things to come, man. And again, if things got a little bit tense while I was going on that, well, I don't even know, 10-15 minute explanation of how I feel about lack of support, mutual support, I should say. I really do hope that I didn't burn bridges. I really hope I didn't burn bridges. Because I was real and transparent of how I expressed the lack of mutual support. I was open and honest about it. And I've already expressed that this will be a transparent recording of the podcast. And I hope this encourages you to do better. I hope this encourages you to understand that support definitely, most confidently, accurately, 100% all the way, it goes both ways. So guys, thanks for hearing what I have to say. And speaking to the loyal followers and listeners and those who just love what I put out there, you know, I love you guys so much. And love is just a word. But just know when I say I love you, like, that is real, bro. Like, I don't use that word lightly. And when people say that just to shut me up, it pisses me off even more. Like, don't do that. Say it if you mean it. But don't say it if you don't mean it. Because words fade away. Words are just words. No feelings. No authenticity. It's just crap. So I love you guys so much. Thank you for supporting me. I look forward to hearing what y'all have to say about issue 3 of Remnant, The Broker. This is when The Broker fights Remnant. Will it last to issue 3? We don't know. Can it go all the way to issue 4? We'll have to find out. But good things to come with Broco Studios' Remnant. Better things to come for the Otaku Podcast. And I'm looking forward to having my guest calling on. You know, I said that he was going to be on in this episode, but we're postponing things for now because we want to make sure that both of us are ready, because when that episode comes out, don't know when yet, it's going to be a freaking banger, bro. It's going to be incredible. So I'm looking forward to that. So shout out to Colin. And you guys can follow his social media links. I'll see if I can attach them on the description of this podcast. I'll be sure to attach them on the TikTok post. But guys, thank you so much for joining me in the Otaku Podcast, where nerds collide.